Hello, this is Barry, Father Christmas's chief elf. If you want to know what would really make the big fella happy this Christmas, simply subscribe or give a 5-star rating to the Word Monkeys podcast. He's such a big fan, but he's so very busy that he doesn't have the time himself to do such a basic and mundane task. It's very simple, just to go to wherever you get your podcasts from, be it iTunes or Acast or Stitcher or something like that, and then simply hit the subscribe button or hit the 5th of the 5 stars to rate it, and do so knowing that you've made Father Christmas very, very happy indeed.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Happy New Year.
Hello, this is Matt Brown, and welcome to the first Word Monkeys podcast of 2018. Happy New Year! I'm recording this on Saturday the 30th of December 2017, and the green pastures of the year 2018 seem such a long, long way away. How is it? Does the world still have cheese? Oh, I do hope so. I like cheese. So this is a special New Year's Day podcast, but it's really the final look back at 2017 podcast. I hope you enjoyed the first one of these with one of my favourite children's authors, Polly Ho Yen, that I released a couple of weeks ago. This one features another of my favourite authors, Mr. Piers Tordai, who has been a regular fixture on the Word Monkeys podcast for the last couple of years, because he's a lovely bloke and I like spending time in his company. And so far, he hasn't run away from me or called the police. Well, not to my knowledge, anyway. Uh-oh. Better get this out quickly. So in this podcast, Piers and I nominate a couple of books each that have really appealed to us this year. The books don't have to have necessarily been written in 2017 or published in 2017, but they're books that we have enjoyed in 2017 and wanted to recommend to a wider audience. So feel free to take up our recommendations. I also have a list at the end of my, sort of my favourite 10 books that I read this year. So stick around and you'll hear that at the end of this little New Year's morsel for you. Okay, here we go.
So the first book that I want to recommend as one of my favourite reads from 2017 is a book by Lorraine Gregory called Mould and the Poison Plot. It's a really great adventure. I think if I was, you know, 10 or 11 or even 8 or 9, I would have just... I mean, I ate this book. I literally read it in an afternoon, and that's not to say that it's slight. It's just such a good story. It's about this extraordinary character called Mould, who's basically got a massive nose. And is kind of a bit of a... I suppose, you know, of course, the point of the story isn't a freak, but he is a bit of a freak because he can smell anything. It's almost like a...
Like perfume.
Yes. It's like a childhood sort of comedy version of... It's like Terry... As if Terry Pratchett wrote Perfume.
Right.
And it's a really good adventure. It's unpredictable. It's very funny, but also properly exciting, like proper villains.
Yeah.
Real double-crossing. And the ending... Often I think with debuts, the problem is, and I found this as well, is that the ending is often a bit, and there's a great story, but it's this, they find they struggle to finish. And I had that problem. And this doesn't. Although there's definitely a sequel is set up with the end of it. It's a really satisfying ending with a kind of big battle and revenge and redemption and reunion and love and loss. And there's a whole world. A lot of it is about poison. So there's wonderful invented poisons and plants and herbs. just the kind of thing kids in love in terms of making up their own world, you know, their own games. It's a really fantastic read, and I'm really excited to see what she's going to write next.
Do you know who did the cover for it? Because I think the cover looks really good.
The cover is really good, and it says here it's by Tom Mead.
Excellent.
But it's fab, and there's little headers and maps, and you know, it's great fun.
Oh, and regular listeners to this podcast will know how much you and I love a map.
In a book. We do love a good map.
Love a good map. I'll recommend one as well, if that's all right. And I'm going to recommend a book that was published this year. It was Norse Gods by Neil Gaiman.
Mm.
I don't know if you've read this, or if you're a Neil Gaiman fan or not.
I know. The only Neil Gaiman I've read is the Graveyard book, which I adored.
I came to Neil Gaiman through sort of graphic novels, and I read this year American Gods, which is quite a few years old now, that book. And has just been turned into a TV series. But Norse Gods, I by far preferred, even though it's not a kid's book, but I would say that it'd be great for kids to read, because essentially it's just the Norse myths retold by someone who's great at telling stories.
Yeah.
Is essentially, and the Norse myths they're just so interesting and alive, and there's so many characters that you'll know if you love the Avengers movies, or you've read any comic books in the last sort of, you know, 30 years or so.
They're more familiar to us, aren't they? Well, I mean, I always felt that with the Greek and the Roman gods, they're great, but they are very Mediterranean. They do feel, if you live in Britain.
Yes, I agree, yeah.
Exotic and remote, whereas the thing about the Norse gods is so much of it is about, you know, cold and the wet and snow and...
Yeah.
And I've always felt that, you know, that lovely childhood idea that gods might be real or superheroes might be real, it feels that you're more likely to bump into Odin or Thor.
Yes.
Northern England than you are, Mercury. It was Zeus, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and the one of the lovely things about the book is that you get a sense that there is essentially the Norse gods' myths are all laid out. So you know right at the beginning that things are going to get really bad for everybody. By the end, sort of thing, you know, and I sort of like that it's not suggesting, I don't think, certainly in this translation or this telling, that the Norse gods are really gods. They are characters in this sort of ongoing saga, as it were.
Yeah.
Which
and
I
is
really
it
like.
Is it illustrated, or is it just it is
no
really...
no it's just words. But I just loved it, and I've suggested it to so many people who are not fans of fantasy or you know, sort of Neil Gaiman's more sort of traditional sort of areas of expertise.
I'm literally adding that to a Christmas list right now.
Good.
Because I know A, it'll be perfect for someone, and also I might ask for it myself. That sounds really good.
Good, that's, I totally recommend it. Right, what's your next one then?
So my next one is a book by another bit of a regular on your podcast, and that is A.F. Harold.
Oh, yeah.
And that is The Song from Somewhere Else. Carnegie nominated, The Song from Somewhere Else. And I would describe this as... If you're a fan of Stranger Things on Netflix,
I am.
This is a much more poetical, sort of dreamlike, and I suppose contemporary version of that 80s idea, really, of the Upside Down. Somewhere Else is sort of like the Upside Down, but it's really like a world between worlds that is discovered by a bullied and slightly unhappy girl, and it's, of course, like all great children's books, it's really about friendship, but it's a great adventure told with what A.F. Harold does so well, is that kind of very deadpan, quirky humour, which I really like, and he has a very clear sense of sort of slightly spooky adventure. He's not afraid, I think, in a children's book. You know, the bits of this are a little bit creepy and a bit frightening.
Mm.
I know if I was reading them, especially with the fantastic illustrated throughout, full-page black and white illustrations by Levi Pinfold.
Mm.
which really add to the kind of mystery and the sense of danger. And I think sometimes with children's books, you know, sometimes even good that they are, sometimes because they are so quick and so fast, they disappear in the mind. But this one really lingers.
I think his writing career, I think, is one that I have. There is a horrible pang of jealousy in my I have in my breast for him, not least because of the illustrators that he has worked with. I think that yes. All of his books just look so great.
So if he ever mysteriously disappears one day,
yeah, it'd be me.
Another one turns up with you know, he has obviously a very distinctive beard, so I might just pull at that beard just to check.
I think if I just invited Philip Ardar to certain events that and said it was A.F. Harold, I think I could probably cover the disappearance of A.F. Harold.
I think that would work.
That's a great recommendation. I'll stick that on my list, I think, on my Christmas list, because I really do like his stuff. And it's shameful that I've not read that already. Probably the jealousy, I suspect, Piers.
It's the jealousy that's stopping. I think you need to get over your look. Either do away with him. Yeah. And assume his career or enjoy
just get
work.
Over it. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. the other book that I would like to recommend is not a children's book. It is a book by a man who's had a quite a year. George Sanders. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you. I'm not recommending Lincoln in the Bardo, although it's almost my favourite book that I've ever read.
Really?
I loved it. So, did you read it?
No, I'm just going to recommend it to someone on WhatsApp now. Sorry.
But I would. Listen to the audiobook of it. If
really?
Yeah, because it's the audiobook is. Because there's about 150 characters in the story, and
yes, someone told me about this.
And the cast is unbelievable. The sort of two leads are David Sedaris and Nick Offerman, and it's so brilliant. I'd really recommend the audiobook. But I got into George Saunders' work about 18 months ago. There's a book called Ten or Tenth, I think it's called. A collection of short stories, but the one that I am recommending that I read this year is called The Brief and Frightening Reign of Phil, which is
I don't know that one.
Oh my god, it is so good. It is so good. And he's like, I can't really describe how I feel about George Sanders other than it feels like either it's so personally written for my sensibility and my sense of humour. Or he is just sort of like someone who is operating on a completely different level to everybody else.
Which means, therefore, you are as well.
That's right. So, by definition, like I am too.
EU in Northern Ireland.
That's right.
I think the thing about George Sanders is he is an amazing writer, and he's one of those writers which makes you realise that sometimes a lot of people we like as writers aren't really doing what maybe writers should do. In the sense that so many writers write books to appeal to as many people as possible. So they just, which is understandable because they want to sell some books. So the writer themselves kind of gets lost, and it's about the story and the style and the characters. And that's what you engage with as a reader. And you might like the style, but you're not really connecting with that person. Mm. But what he does in a way, I feel it's the opposite. It's like, all the idiosyncrasies and eccentricities and individuality which makes up a person, he kind of puts into the page and the story. So it's completely kind of quirky. But in the end, it ends up feeling more succinct and perceptive.
Yeah.
Than when people, do you know what I mean, try and normalise their feelings. Because, of course, it's really human. Everything he's saying is so true. Often.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what I think. Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah. And in this particular sort of volume of stories, there is one quite lengthy short story, which is about a person called Phil. And who becomes a bit of a tyrant in his community. And so I read it right at the beginning of the year. And I think that what was going on in America with Trump was still so sort of raw. It felt really on the money as far as that is concerned, like how somebody can sort of bully their way to power effectively. So I think that maybe it had a certain resonance because of that. Although at the time, I remember almost everything I read seemed to sort of speak to me about the things that were happening in the sort of wider political sphere.
I think that the truth is that Trump is the product of, you know, the last 25 to 50 years of American history anyway.
Yeah.
So anything written in that is bound to, I think you just, I think it's more, to me, it feels like you just see it through new eyes.
Yes, true. And a lot of George Sanders' sort of short stories are about things, you know, very American things like consumerism and advertising and, you know, things like that. So I think you're right that it would necessarily sort of lend itself to thinking about things like that.
But also what's so weird is that Trump, because he's so weird with his orange hair and the kind of weirdness of him, he feels like a George Sanders
character. He does. But again, in sort of November, December time last year, I don't know if you've read any Alan Moore's graphic novels.
Some of them, yeah. I've read like the Jack the Ripper one and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was reading V for Vendetta and The Watchmen at the back end of last year. And again, both of those, it was like, oh my God, he's seen into the future and knew that Trump was coming. It was extraordinary how sort of prescient those two bits of writing felt, you know, 25, 30 years after they were written.
He's like a prophet, isn't he, Alan Moore? He's like some...
Yeah.
He's like Teresa. He's like one of those ancient classical prophets hidden away in Northampton, seeing the world.
It's quite extraordinary. And there we have it. The first Word Monkeys of 2018 is safely almost done and dusted. Big thanks to Piers Tordé for taking time out of his rather busy schedule. Schedule to chat about some of the books that he has loved in the last year. And I just wanted to end with just a few more that I really liked, because I had a long list. I did whittle it down a bit, but these are the books that I really enjoyed. And actually, I think they might even be in the order that I read them. Bright Lights, Big City, I read. I know that was released in the 1980s. I missed it first time round. Gosh, it's good. Jay McInerney. Just fantastic. Slightly surprised after reading it to discover that Michael J. Fox played the lead in the film. Not the person I would have cast, I fear. Another book that was released a long time ago that I only got round to reading for the first time this year was War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. I saved it. I've written an alien encounter story myself, which is being released in 2018, and I saved that as a treat for after I'd read it. And it's incredible. If you get a chance to read it, honestly, it's so good. It feels really modern, even though it takes a while to get your head around the fact that there aren't any sorts of bits of modern technology in it, like cars don't exist because it was written before cars sort of were around, so everyone travels by horse or by cart and stuff like that. But it's so good that really recommend it. And in addition to that, Scarlet Traces, Ian Eddington and Disraeli is the illustrator for that graphic novel. Scarlet Traces looks at what happened immediately after the aliens die in War of the Worlds, spoiler alert. And so that's really worth getting your hands on if you can, Scarlet Traces. It's really good, really dark and funny, and it's about how the humans have suddenly got all of this alien technology at their disposal. Excellent book. Really recommend it. I'd also really recommend Blade Artist by Irving Welsh, which follows the story of Begbie. I don't quite know where it fits in the canon. I suppose it fits in after Trainspotting 2, certainly. Begbie becomes this sort of like conceptual artist and lives in LA, but has to come back to Scotland to sort out the death of his son. And it's brilliant, absolutely spectacular, that. As is Room by Emma Donoghue, which again, loads of people will have read already, but I'm stupid and didn't get the hang of that until just now. And I would then, my last book of recommendation this year, that again was written so long ago, is Hangover Square by Patrick Hamilton. It's so good. It's about a man who is obsessed with this woman who pretty much treats him like dirt and hates him. And he has this strange sensation happen in his brain, where his brain suddenly sort of like just clicks, and he knows that he must kill this woman. And then when his brain clicks back, he has no memory of those feelings. So Hangover Square by Patrick Hamilton is another Word Monkeys Matt Brown recommendation for you. So anyway, listen, thanks so much for listening. There'll be another Word Monkeys along very soon. Hopefully you're not feeling too delicate when you're listening to this, and that you had a really lovely New Year's Eve celebration, and that you're looking forward and feeling positive about the new year to come. I will see you very soon. Until then, have a great day/week/month/year, and goodbye.